Steve, it looks like this briefing is about to begin. We've seen Tom Menino, the governor of Boston, the mayor of Boston, brought up to the microphones in his wheelchair. He tweeted out a little while ago, "We got him."
I thought you all went home.
And here we are beginning the briefing now.
We are so
this
grateful.
This is Colonel
to be
Timothy
right
Alban of the Massachusetts
State
Police. We're
so grateful to bring justice and a closure to this case. To those families that lost loved ones or suffered injuries that they'll live with the rest of their lives. For a police officer, a young man starting a career at MIT, and a police officer with the MBTA who almost lost his life, and for neighborhoods that lived in fear for an entire day, we are eternally grateful for the outcome here tonight. We have a suspect in custody. I want to thank all of the partners who worked tirelessly over the last 4 days, including the FBI, the Transit Police, our brothers with the Boston Police Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the support that we've gotten from our governor over the last 4 days. We're exhausted, folks, but we have a victory here tonight. But let's not forget those people along the way. Thanks very much. Governor?
Thank you, Colonel. Well, on behalf of Crystal and Martin and Lingsy, on behalf of the MIT officer who was lost last night and a transit police officer who was injured, on behalf of the hundreds of people who were hurt by the explosions at the marathon, I want to say how grateful I am to the colonel, to the special agent in charge, Rick Delorier, to all of the law enforcement who worked so well and so hard together to bring us to tonight's conclusion. It was a very, very complicated case, a very challenging case, and there are still some questions remaining to be answered. But as the colonel said, because of that extraordinary collaboration and cooperation by all of these law enforcement resources and assets, and more to the point, people, professionals, who brought their A game, we have a suspect in custody tonight. I want to also just thank all of the members of the public for their extraordinary patience, their participation in this investigation by reviewing photographs of their own and others that were up through the media, and we thank you for that, and helping us narrow in on these suspects. They were helpful and patient, and we're grateful for that as well. It's a night where I think we're all going to rest easy. Carmen?
Excuse me. Good evening. I'm United States Attorney Carmen Ortiz, and I have to say that both the governor and the colonel have put it tremendously well. Tonight, we feel a tremendous sense of gratitude and relief. The ordeal that this community, especially this neighborhood, has endured over the last 24 hours, tonight we can sleep a bit easier. And all of the unpredictable, horrific, and yet heroic acts that have occurred over the last several days, starting with the terrible bombing attacks that occurred on Monday, here we are, and not forgetting the victims of the crimes that have occurred over the last several days. The victims of the bombings, as the governor said, Martin, Lingsy, Crystal, two officers who have been hurt, one who lost his life, Sean Collier, and Richard Donahue, who is fighting for his life. Our thoughts and our prayers are with their families. Tonight you're going to have many questions, but I want to say, as I have said the last several days, this has been a very active an ongoing investigation. And although for some of you tonight is a closure, for me the journey continues. And so this will continue to be an ongoing and active investigation as we sort all the details, continue to evaluate a tremendous amount of evidence, and file our formal charges. But I will say this, I have never been prouder to stand with a tremendous group of law enforcement here, from the colonel to the commissioner to my federal colleague, Rick Delorier, with the FBI, all of the federal agencies, the state and local departments that have worked so hard since the attacks on Monday, so committed and putting their lives on the line as we fought the last 24 hours to try to get a suspect into custody. And so my journey and my office's journey begins, and this investigation will continue, so we will not be able to provide the details that you may want at this time, but as the days continue, you will get answers to those questions. Thank you.
Mayor Menino.
Thank you. I just want to say very briefly, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to the law enforcement officials who work together. State police, Boston police, FBI, all working together. That's when government works the best. I want to thank also the citizens out there. For the last week, worked in unknown what's happening out there because of the bombing at the marathon. But today, because of the hard work of so many individuals, my Boston police working together with the state police, we have a conclusion that we're all satisfied with. But also, folks, I remember the folks who lost their lives this past week. This shall go on. We're a better city than what happened this past week, and we'll get better. And to all of you folks out in the media, thank you for the support you gave us for this past week. It wasn't easy. Some days you said to us, why? Let me tell you, we're there working hard. And when I say I spent a lot of time with the law enforcement officials. They worked so hard this week to come to a conclusion. Tonight, today, night, we say thank you to them for the work they did, tracing out every one of those leads that we got, which is so significant to what came to the end of this case today. Pamela Ortiz, now it's up to her job to bring the federal courts. But I tell you, I feel so good about this. I tell you, I'm so happy because the people of our greater Boston area will be able to sleep tonight because of the work of these individuals.
Good evening. My name is Rick DeLaurier. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston Division. It seems like many months since Monday, April 15th, the day of the Boston Marathon bombings. Yet it has been merely 5 days since the tragic explosions that took three lives, critically injured over 180 spectators, and instilled terror and fear among the citizens of the city of Boston, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and elsewhere. Today, the city of Boston, the city of Cambridge, and the city of Watertown, and many other communities can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that two perpetrators who caused so much pain and anguish are no longer a threat to our personal safety and to our communities. Together with the action and support of our Joint Terrorism Task Force partners, many of which are on the stage with me this evening, the FBI and our partners remain vigilant and continue to follow through thousands of leads and sifted through hundreds of tips, through thousands of man hours to reach this moment. This was truly an absolutely intense investigation, and I do emphasize a truly intense investigation. As a result of that, justice is being served for the victims of these terrible crimes. I want to personally express the FBI's profound thanks to each of our partners for bringing us to this moment here this evening. No one agency alone accomplished this critically important task of keeping the city of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts safe. Thank you very much, and I support you. I thank you for your support of our media campaign the other day, which publicized the photos. I thank you very, very much for the support that the media provided us on that. It was phenomenal, and I thank each and every one of you tonight. Thank you.
Commissioner Davis.
Thank you.
Four days ago, my city was ruthlessly attacked. There's no explaining the savagery involved here. There's no explanation for it. I spent the last several days looking at hundreds of hours of videotape. I got to see how brutal that attack was over and over and over again. But more importantly, I got to see what the Boston police officers who responded to that scene, along with the medical personnel and the other first responders, did to put people back together. Tourniquets. Stemming the bleeding with their hands, putting a man who was on fire out with their hands. These are the kind of things that came out of this savagery. It makes me proud to be a Boston police officer. It makes me proud to be a part of this team. Rick DeLaurier from the FBI could not be more cooperative. We've sat together almost hour for hour for the last 4 days, sharing every single bit of information in a real team. Colonel Albans, the same way. Commander Ortiz, with us all the time. And then, to bring the governor and the mayor together, leading the city of Boston in responding to this, I finally just want to say that the citizens of the city have been incredible. They've been patient with us. They've endured an enormous amount of heartache and aggravation over the last 4 days. But we're very happy to try to put this back together. Thank you.
Watertown Police Chief DeBoe.
As the police chief of Watertown, I can't be prouder of my community and the men and women of the Watertown Police Department. What they've been through, what we've been through the last 24 hours, I wouldn't want to see another police department go through. The support that we've had from all the different agencies that have been mentioned tonight over the last 24 hours has been incredible. To see so many agencies work together with the governor, with the mayor of Boston, and our officials in Watertown has been really great. I've spoken to the people in Watertown before, but I can't thank you enough. The community stood strong. It was the call from a resident of Watertown. We asked you to remain vigilant, and you did. We got that call, and we got the guy. And so we can't thank you enough. You've done everything and more than we've asked. Extremely proud of law enforcement today and what we've accomplished. Thank you.
Chief, did you have communication Chief, with the suspect?
Excuse me, we're not done. Chief McMillan from the MBTA.
I just want to thank all those who sent their thoughts and prayers to Officer Donahue and his family. Please know that it was deeply appreciated. Thank you. And I also want to commend all of the law enforcement agencies who took part in this. This is truly dedication and commitment at its best, and I'm proud to be part of it. Thank you.
Special Agent in Charge of the ATF.
My name is Joseph Adarumo, Special in Charge. Special Agent in Charge of ATF.
Go ahead.
Today, the entire world witnessed this law enforcement's community commitment to apprehending these offenders. Make no doubt that this combined effort will never cease in its protection of every city, every town, and every neighborhood in our nation. The prayers from every ATF employee will continue to go out to the victims as they heal from this senseless act of violence. May God bless the citizens.
Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Conley.
Thank you very much. I was listening to the police action all afternoon on the radio, and I'd like to join my voice, or add my voice, I should say, to those who came before me to say what an extraordinary police operation across all jurisdictions that I was able to listen to and witness today. I was down at the scene early on, and in our business, Carmen, myself, it's about accountability, and I can't say how happy I am and how pleased I am that the second subject was taken alive. This will really ensure accountability for the victims and their families. So congratulations to all law enforcement for a job very well done, and now the task ahead for accountability. Thank you.
We'll take questions.
How did the events transpire at the boats?
There was a call that came into the Watertown Police, three Boston police officers, along with state troopers and FBI agents, responded to Franklin Street. A man had gone out of his house after being inside the house all day, abiding by our request to stay inside. He walked outside and he saw blood on a boat in the backyard. He then opened a tarp on the top of the boat, and he looked in and saw a man covered with blood. He retreated and called us. We set up a perimeter around that boat, and over the course of the next hour or so, we exchanged gunfire with the suspect who was inside the boat, and ultimately the hostage rescue team of the FBI made an entry into the boat and removed the suspect who was still alive in the boat.
Can you talk about the imperative of taking him alive?
You're listening to the press conference. It's a special report on the bombing suspect capture in Boston. Let's listen to CBS.
But can you talk about it in the context of this particular individual? Can you talk about accountability? Can you talk about why you want to take?
We always want to take somebody alive so that we can find out what happened, why it happened, and we can hold them for justice.
Other individuals, how badly injured is the suspect?
Do you have communication with this suspect?
How badly
There was the hostage rescue team actually did work in trying to negotiate him out of that boat. They did try to talk him out, although from what I understand, he was not communicative.
Other people have also been taken into custody as well, reports. Have they aided and abetted the suspect?
There's been actually, I don't have that information.
Commissioner Davis, can you talk about the suspect injury?
There are no other suspects out there. You've got your guy. This is it.
I think that based upon our investigation at this point in time, the citizens of the city of Boston in this area can be confident that the threat has been removed. Suspect is in serious condition at the hospital.
How did you know that these are the suspects you were looking for? They didn't rob the 7-Eleven, so how did you know that they were there at the same time?
The suspects came to our attention after a vicious assassination of the police officer at MIT, and in a subsequent robbery that occurred, where we got videotaped from a gas station. The robbery actually was a carjacking. The car was taken from the scene. And officers engaged that car from the Watertown Police Department along with other officers. We were then able to put the case together.
Commissioner, did you get shot when you were apprehending him at the boat? Was he shot by a police officer?
The man who found him at the boat said that he was covered with blood. We assume that those injuries occurred the evening before. There was an exchange of gunfire at the boat. I don't know if he was struck. There was a house in New Bedford that the hostage rescue team went into from the FBI because we felt that it was important to the investigation, but the suspect was not found.
Given that he was still out there and armed.
I'm sorry.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you called exactly with Hostage Collier? Was he shot in cold blood? What do you know about
him? My assessment of that particular incident is that he was assassinated in his cruiser.
And do you know what he was doing?
He was responding to a call for a disturbance.
Given that he was out there, still armed, was it a mistake to give the all clear and let people go outside? Could they have been at risk?
We certainly did not give an all clear. We made it clear that people, and Colonel Albans is here and spoke very eloquently to this. This was a very serious and dangerous situation. We had no information that the suspect was still holed up in this particular area. He managed to elude us by being just slightly outside of the perimeter that we set up. But in truth, we told everybody that this was a dangerous situation and they should be cautious. This is a very dangerous time in the world. We have to use caution. That's what we ask people to do. Thankfully, this man who found the suspect called us right away, did the right thing, got on 911. We were able to come in and take care of the situation. There's no report of explosives with him at capture. But I got to tell you, I was at the scene last night just after this incident occurred. There was an exchange of over 200 rounds of gunfire. There were improvised explosive devices and handmade hand grenades that were thrown at the officers at the scene. This is the stuff that in an urban police department, it's almost unheard of. So these officers acted heroically, courageously. They protected the community and they protected each other when they responded to this scene. I'm so proud of the actions of the Watertown Police, the State Police, the Boston Police. It's been an incredible team. I was told that there was an exchange of gunfire. I was not there when he was taken out of the boat.
No Miranda warning. Claiming public exception, the reason, could you explain that for us?
Actually, the United States Attorney may want to, or the FBI may want to explain that. It's a federal issue.
The boat was searched earlier.
Just a minute. No, I had not.
What was the question?
Reports tonight are that there was no Miranda warning given, that they were claiming a public safety exemption. Could we get an explanation for that?
There is a public safety exemption in cases of national security and potential charges involving acts of terrorism, and so government has that opportunity right now, though I believe that the suspect has been taken to a hospital. So we'll start with there. Thank you. Yes? I'm sorry. You know, what I indicated earlier is that this is still an active and ongoing investigation. We're going to be reviewing all of the evidence. Before that kind of a decision is made in terms of whether or not to seek the death penalty, you review all of the evidence, and it's a very thoughtful long process that is engaged, and it's the Attorney General of the Department of Justice that that makes that final decision.
This is
thank you. I'm sorry, Karen.
Went straight to the vote, and then can you or Colonel Alvin talk to us a little bit about what happened when you were on the scene? Was he moving around? How did you know it was finally a chance to take him into custody?
Yes, I'm going to let.
We know he didn't go straight to the boat. We set up the perimeter with the best intentions, with a lot of information. We found blood in the car that he abandoned. We found blood behind a house inside the perimeter. So we had no information that he had gotten outside of the perimeter. As we said, it was very chaotic early this morning. We had an aide, a police officer, that was shot, bleeding. And so there was a lot of things going on. We thought we got the perimeter solid, and we pretty much did that, but we were about one block away. So, but he had to be moving a little bit after he was behind the house for a period of time that we know.
When he got there, though, was he moving in it? How did you know that you could take him into custody? Had he been moving around? You're able to watch him?
Yeah.
Sure. The reason that we knew this is our helicopter had actually detected the subject in the boat. We have what's called a FLIR, a forward-looking infrared device on that helicopter. It picked up the heat signature of the individual, even though he was underneath what appeared to be the shrink wrap or a cover on the boat itself. And there was movement from that point on, and the helicopter was able to direct the tactical teams over to that area and ultimately take him into custody.
Did the police search the boat during the day?
Yeah, it was outside the perimeter during the day, so it was not searched. This was the act of a citizen that went out and discovered this individual in the boat and ultimately called the Watertown Police Department and resulted in this our response.
What was the suspect doing at MIT? Were they planning another bombing?
Is there a chance the suspect won't make it and won't live to tell the story of what happened?
I'm sorry?
Is there a chance the suspect won't make it?
I don't know. I did not see him when he was taken into custody. I know he's in serious condition, but I don't know to what extent. I think we've taken enough questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's Colonel Timothy Albin of the Massachusetts State Police ending the press briefing at the conclusion of the search for the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. He has been captured. He is in the hospital now in serious condition. We are expecting, I urge you to stay tuned, because we are expecting to hear from President Obama very shortly to make a statement on today's events. Right now we'll go to correspondent Steve Kathan, who's in Watertown, Massachusetts. Steve.
Pat, Bill, these officials here holding this briefing, very grateful that this situation has ended without anybody in Watertown getting hurt. The second marathon bomb suspect is now in custody, injured, taken away just about an hour ago. And from the top on down, everybody here very grateful for the work put in over the past several days to try to solve this case. And very happy that people here will be able to sleep well tonight. A couple of people mentioned that after what may have been a couple of sleepless nights, people here will be able to finally relax.
And Steve, I imagine that the crowd is dispersing rather quickly now. It's been a very long day for a lot of people working there, and they seem anxious to go home and get a good night's rest.
Yeah, the police have been peeling off here car by car in the last 40 minutes or so, and couple of busloads of them just left, complete with some National Guard troops as well. So everybody's heading home. The rain's just picking up again, and a job well done for everybody.
And for you too, Steve. Thank you. Now we'll go live to the White House. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer standing by to hear remarks from President Obama.
That's right, Bill. The president's been closely monitoring this all day long. In fact, starting last night, and we're awaiting his arrival in the White House briefing room here in Washington. And reporters are gathered, and that's really all we know at the moment. He was briefed today by the entire national security team. The FBI director personally told him tonight about this suspect being taken into custody and what the circumstances were. And the president will give the nation his own take soon. I'm sure he's going to salute the police and repeat his condolences over the death of the MIT police officer and the losses of all of the people, the three people who were killed in the bombing, and all of those who were so grievously wounded.
Peter, we discussed earlier today how much the president has been involved in this situation from when it first developed on Monday afternoon. So it's hardly a surprise that he wants to come out and say a few words now.
Well, that's right. He has spoken at every juncture of this, although only at the times that it really was dictated. In other words, today we kept getting questions, why isn't he saying anything? And the White House told us that naturally this was a story that was happening in Boston. The president, for a number of reasons, could not get ahead of it.
We were told initially that the president would be speaking at about 9:45 Eastern time. That was about 12 minutes ago.
Right.
Clearly, he waited until the statements had been made in Watertown.
Again, the president wanted to give the local authorities a chance to reassure everyone on the ground there. And this is very much a federal case. We heard the U.S. attorney, Carmen Ortiz, saying that the Attorney General, Eric Holder, would ultimately make the decision on what types of federal charges will be placed against this man and whether or not the government will seek the death penalty, which, of course, they did in the case of Timothy McVeigh in the Oklahoma City bombing. In fact, I covered his execution at Terre Haute, Indiana.
We learned that Jokhar Tsarnaev, the young suspect, was not read his rights in the ambulance as he normally would do, as normally would be done. The Justice Department tells us that no Miranda warning was given in this case because the government is invoking the public safety exception, which involves cases of suspected terrorism. And the what they call the high-value detainee group is there. There's a special task force that deals with these sorts of cases, and they are involved in keeping the suspect in custody and presumably interrogating him when he's able to do so. We're told that he is seriously wounded, apparently suffered two gunshot wounds either during the course of the gunfight last night or in the exchange of gunfire with police officers this afternoon when he was found on that boat in Watertown, Massachusetts. Standing by, while we wait for President Obama, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen is standing by. Andrew, what do you make of this non-Miranda warning?
Well, listen, we've been talking about it for hours, Bill, the possibility that if there was going to be an arrest here, there was the possibility that this suspect, even though he's evidently a U.S. citizen, would not be treated like a regular domestic U.S. citizen, that he'd be treated like a terror suspect. And now we have proof of that. The authorities invoking a relatively new procedure that allows them to continue to ask the questions. Now, of course, he can still not answer the questions. He can still refuse to answer the questions if he wants to. But the fact